You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, I speak to Skulk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. This edition of the show, Skulk, is called The Good, The Bad and The Ugly, with some other bits as well. But I'm going to start with The Good, The Bad and The Ugly because it's quite pertinent to South Africa and also quite interesting at the end when it comes to the ugly part. The good is your old favourite, gold. Good as gold, this is, because on Bloomberg this afternoon I was sent the following, and I await you to scribble and then comment, please. Central banks have emerged as a driving force behind the record-breaking bull market for gold, and nobody expects them to stop. Famous last words, but let's go on anyway. According to Goldman Sachs, central banks have acquired $8.5 billion worth of gold each month. The accumulation of the Haven asset highlights the growth concerns among some countries about overexposure to the dollar. And the rally in gold prices is only adding to the metal's appeal. Most of the buying is secret, they say. Well, it's not anymore. but trade data indicates China accounts for a lot of the purchases, along with other unidentified buyers via Switzerland. Sort of cloak and dagger stuff, Skulk. I like that stuff.
Worst kept secret ever. Because, man, oh, man, they are piling into it. Yes, yeah, we know India has always been a massive buyer. That's no secret. We've seen Russia definitely, adding to their war chest. And China has been a massive buyer, of gold, the central bank. So, yeah, that's definitely the case. And yeah, it's just I'm getting. I mean, I'm going to read you a tweet, Lindsay, and it's funny enough by a fellow South African. You know, we're claiming him, Elon Musk. He actually tweeted today, and on a somebody showed the debt clock, the U.S. debt clock. You know, running now just shy of $37 trillion, and you know, he talked about the payments, the interest payments to this person. And then Elon actually replied and tweeted, interest payments already consume 25% of all government revenue. If the massive deficit spending continues, there will only be money for interest payments and nothing else, exclamation mark. No social security, no medical, no defense, nothing. Well, man, if that's not a lovely, lovely little tweet, you know, confirming why you shouldn't be in too much of a rush to, sell your gold.
Get out of gold. Let's just reiterate, and you must lay your cards on the table. You are a holder of gold. You have been a holder of gold for a long time, and we have spoken about it on this program, and you are unashamedly bullish. And you have been tested sorely when the market has fallen back and everyone said, that's enough now. But you stuck with it, and you're sticking with it. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, we've had this conversation, I think, a week or two, Lindsay, where I think you asked me the same question. And I said, well, if the business case for me holding gold, or specifically the gold miners, change, then I will reevaluate and look at, you know, selling. I mean, like any other investment, what is the reason why you bought into that specific investment, into that specific company, or into that specific commodity? And then when that, let's call it the business thesis of yours, change, then you will reevaluate. Now, nothing has changed. In actual fact, some of these, let's call it reasons why I bought into gold, is getting, you know, bigger and bigger. I mean, we've had, that was just crazy, you know, looking at that. You've got a few trucks with a few hundred drones, Ukrainian drones, driving over the border into Russia. you know, just flying and taking out a few planes on airports.
Yeah, and it's not just that in isolation as well, Scout. Sorry to interrupt you. It's also the way that people are saying, goodness me, this could possibly change the way that people wage wars in the future. And military strategists in countries that are hell-bent on mayhem can say to themselves, well, if Ukraine can do it with Russia, we can do it in this country, which we don't like at the moment, or we want to assert our power against. Now, that's very dangerous. And yeah, people are looking at gold, and they're looking at it very, very seriously. And just briefly, before we go on to the bad of the good, the bad and the ugly, what has been the reaction recently of the gold stocks, the gold mining companies?
No, but definitely. I mean, another conversation we've had, I mean, I think about two months ago, I mentioned that even with the gold price high, the gold miners didn't really follow. And there we looked at a few things. I like, you know, looking at an ETF called Van Eck Gold Miners. You also get the Van Eck Junior Gold Miners, code GDX, and I think the other one is GDXJ. But anyway, it's basically the gold miners, all of the largest gold mines in the world, and when you invest in that ETF, you pretty much buy all the biggest gold miners.
Yes.
But more importantly, I look at the price relative against the gold price. And on that stage, it actually showed that the miners really lagged the actual gold price. Now, since then, it's made up a hell of a lot. I mean, we've seen the movement of gold miners this year. I mean, I don't know if the actual figures are in front of me anymore, but I mean, likes of 60% and 80% in some of these gold mines for 2025 alone. It's just fantastic. But they're not expensive yet, Lindsay. I mean, we've had Goldfields came out, I think, 3 weeks ago, where they had an operational update where they mentioned that the year-on-year all-in cost and all-in sustainable cost is lower now. It's lower today than what it was exactly a year ago, which means they're actually containing the cost side of their business, you know, well enough. And when I say cost side, the all-in cost is 1,865. Can't remember why I remember that, but $1,865 per ounce. And every day that this gold price go up even further, I mean, these mines are printing money like a printing machine. So they are financially, you know, very, very sound, cash flow positive, and sitting with very, very little debt. Like I mentioned, the business case, business thesis for why I'm investing these miners is definitely still on the cards. They're not expensive, and I'm not planning to sell anytime soon.
And almost reinforcing the gold story before we leave it is the story of the Swiss franc as well, another safe haven. Mm. Huge demand for Swiss francs this year. The Swiss franc up over 10% against the US dollar so far. So safe haven is the watch phrase of the year. Okay, the bad now. The bad is South African specific, and it's economic data. And okay, the gold price is good for the trade balance, and the rand is nice and steady. A lot of that to do with the weakness in the US dollar. So not independent rand strength, but the rand is strong and stable, and that's good. We'll take that. But on the other hand, you've got growth, which is nothing. Bloomberg, I think, expected growth, GDP growth to be -0.1%. It recently came out, well, this week, in fact, at +0.1%. That is pathetic, quite honestly. And PMI, that's the Purchasing Managers Index, shows that the manufacturing economy of South Africa's economy is horrible. 7 months in a row contracting, Skalk. It's unacceptable. What is the ANC doing?
Yeah, let's see, that is, I mean, you mentioned 1%. I mean, we had APSA that came
0.1%.
Out last week. Yeah. I mean, that APSA came out last week and reducing their growth forecast in Africa as well, also to 1% for 2025. But I mean, that's no surprise because we saw the IMF do it, most banks in South Africa do it, most international banks done it. But it's from where? I mean, APSA came into this year and they forecast a 2.1% growth for South Africa, which we still felt was we should be growing anything between 3 and 5%. I mean, even 2% is not even accommodating our population growth. But you know, to reduce from 2.1 to 1%, it's just, oh man, we need to start growing. We need to start turning this ship around, because and we're not going to do it, because that's the general theme that I've seen. We've had this conversation at larger length, but we've heard it in the likes of the PPC. Most of these companies that reported over the past, let's call it, month, at one general theme that I've seen in most of these companies, and that is that they are looking at their expenses, they're trying to contain it, and not to look at their profitability or play it safe. I think just companies in general, South African companies in general, has got the same confidence that international managers has got. We want to start seeing, let's call it, government South Africa also growing or as focused on growing South Africa as corporate South Africa does. And until they do it, companies are not going to expand. Companies are not going to and when they're not expanding, it means that they're not employing new people. So unemployment stays high. It's just sort of a vicious, vicious circle. We need to start turning the ship around. We need to start attracting money, attracting confidence back in South Africa. And unfortunately, the way where government is currently handling themselves, I don't think they will be doing anytime soon.
Just to clarify something, I'm saying 0.1%. That was the recent quarterly figure. South Africa's economic growth slumped to plus 0.1% in the first quarter of the year. And the 1% or 1.2% figure, wherever you look, is the annual projected rate. But anyway, Skalk, that's the bad. Now the ugly. You've already mentioned Elon Musk. And I won't be nasty about him when it comes to ugly, but that's because that's another story for a different type of podcast. But Skulk, he has got the key to the White House, a symbolic key to the White House, in a presentation in the Oval Office the other day with his mate, or what should I say, former mate, Donald Trump. But since he's been released from the shackles of the White House, and no longer head of Doge officially anyway, he trashed the big, beautiful bill. He says it's an abomination, a pork-filled abomination, and anyone that votes for it knows they're doing the wrong thing. So having a go at Trump and at Congress in equal measure, and he's really, really gone to town. And it makes you realize what was going on behind the scenes. Did they really like each other? Trump liked him because of $250 million campaign contributions. Musk liked him because of possible EV advantages that he was given, tax-wise or, I don't know, whatever way it was. He got some benefit out of the relationship. Now, gloves off, Skulk. Ugly.
And I don't know if you saw the full interview where he actually received that key, but they actually referred to his black eye. Did you see that part?
I saw the bit where he said it was his kid bashing him in the face. The whole thing was very strange.
It was really, really strange. So maybe they had a bit of a fallout that the poor kid took the fall. Maybe he just got slapped by his old friend. I'm actually just joking. But Lindsay, I mean, you mentioned the big, beautiful bill. What's it? 3.3. I think that's the lowest. Some people calling it as high as extra $6 trillion. Dollars. This is going to add to the U.S. debt. We just mentioned the close to $37 trillion debt that they're currently sitting with. You know, adding those amounts, we're looking at a addition, not cutting that debt, but addition of an extra 10% debt to their current exuberant debt levels. We're already looking at another $600 billion. Addition this year alone to the deficit, and you mentioned the people that voted for it. What were they thinking? I can't remember what you said. You mentioned something about what were they thinking. Well, it was 215 of them that voted for this bill, and funny enough, 214 voted against. So I think this must be one of the closest ever approvals that we've seen in U.S. history, showing you the division currently that that we currently
It's all along party lines, of course, Democrats versus Republicans, and no Republican is going to have the guts really to stand up and say no to Mr. Trump, because that's the end of his or her career. Skalk, we're in the middle of results season on the JSE. JSE listed companies coming out with numbers, and one today has really stood out when it comes to the performance of the share price post results, and that's 91 PLC. And the share price, as I look at my screen now, up over 8%. Now, you know 91 very well. I know them very well, have done for years in various iterations. But yeah, the market receiving their results very, very well indeed. Did you like them?
Lindsay, it was a bit of a struggle. I sat with the team, yeah. and we worked through this. So you know, for the listeners out there that didn't see the results, we had a, let's call it a contraction in the EPS, contraction in the HEPS. So there was no growth. It was expected. I mean, when I say expected, we actually saw that they were expecting 15.4p, and it came out, you know, 15.5. So not a lot, but still it was a contraction. When we look at the assets under management, that has grown 4% from the, you know, it's called £126 billion last year to the current £130.8 billion. Now that looks. Sounds great, but if you strip out, you know, the market growth, they actually had net outflows. And to put that in, you know, not rand and sentiment in pounds, they actually had net outflows of 4.9 billion. So, you know, it's been a tough year for them, but they've always been very verbal. I mean, that's the thing about CEO Hendrik de Toey. I mean, I think he must be one of our best CEOs, not just in the country, but also in the world. He's always been verbal. You know, feedback being that we're in a tough environment. You know, when you said South African branded manager, although, you know, they're not really, but if you branded a South African manager, and South Africa is seeing the net outflows, and we're seeing that in the JSE outflows every single month. I mean, I can't remember when last I saw net inflows into the JSE. But if you see that amount of net outflows, the likes of 91s, Allan Gray's, Coronations, those companies will struggle. I mean, because naturally they are branded.
So then explain to me the 8% rally. Was the market expecting worse and therefore is covering its short positions? Or is it just because of the fact that they're saying they had a better second half and the post-results commentary was bullish for the rest of the year, now that all the Trump stuff has settled down a little bit? What was your explanation for people taking the results so well?
I could not find any good reason why. I'm not investing in this company, so let's just put this out there. I mean, I really love 91, love the story behind it. I think it's got great management, and it's got a great investment team. But I mean, I could not really find a good enough reason why it actually gained 8.5%. The two things that did stand out, that they do have a share repurchase program. I mean, that's one thing that they're buying back, you know, some shares. I see there's been on the 3rd of June that they bought back kind of the 44,000 ordinary shares again. So they are buying back their own stock. That usually sort of rings a bell with some of these, the hedge fund and investors. You know, a company that's buying back their own stock is sort of, they're not going to stop there. They might continue, you know, a bit longer. So that might be one of the first reasons. And I think maybe the market, despite the earnings coming out bang on target, I think the market didn't expect the AUM, the asset under management, to have grown. Not you know, when they heard that there was, let's call it, close to £5 billion outflows, that they still would be, you know, in positive territory on an AUM basis. So I think that 4% growth is also a contributor to today's movement. But besides that, I couldn't really find anything or any great reason why it's been up, as it actually ran today. And then finally, just remember that proposed acquisition of SIM, Sanlam Investment Management.
Yes.
They're managing 5 billion rand. That was mentioned in November last year. That Hendrik did mention in his outlet that's still on track. That acquisition is still very much on track. So again, just maybe a few good reasons why it should be positive. And great day for them.
Yes, and one thing they do very well indeed, and one of the things that comes across as different to 91 to certain other companies is the staff element and how they treat their staff. And that is the, let me just read you the exact story here. I've got the figure in my head, 32.6%, so let's call it a third of the company. It says here, 32.6% of the company is owned by a committed and motivated staff. So there's some people there sitting there today saying, I may go and, raise a glass to the share price going up 8.5%. Well done to them for being progressive in that regard, Skulk.
For sure. For sure. I mean, those fund managers, and I'm not going to try and, mention anyone personally, but those fund managers that they've been managing those 91 funds previously, Investec funds, it's been there for decades. I mean, some of them actually very close to the start of the company in 1991. So it just shows you, if you've got loyal staff, you committed staff, then that's your staff forever.
Yes, exactly. Let's have a look at the markets now. With the dollar rand at 17.81, the British pound against the rand is 24.17, and the euro rand is 20.34. Euro dollar 1.14.20. That's a euro that's risen by a third of a percent. British pound against the dollar 1.3570. Gold now not doing anything, 33.72, which is barely changed. The platinum price though up $41 an ounce to 10.89, a near 4% gainer, and palladium down just over a percent to 1,008. Other commodities, Skulk, obviously we look at the all-important oil price, and that's the big driver of the CRB index. Brent crude oil, $64.65, down 1.5%. West Texas crude in the States down 1.1% to $62.68. And what else we got there? Gas prices are down 1%, but they're all over the place every single day. Coal down 2.1%. It's a big export market for South Africa. Copper barely changed. Okay, S&P 500 futures with the tariff story can rumbling on still. Only down a bit, though. They were down around about 0.5% earlier on. If my screen can refresh, it's gone from being 0.2 down half an hour ago to 0.2 up at the moment. Just below 6,000 for the S&P futures. US 10-year Treasury bond yield 4.38%. What else have we got here? Bitcoin. Been under pressure, recovering a bit of composure. $105,500 an ounce up very soon. No, there we go. $105,300 down 1.2% on the day. The South African 10-year has been behaving itself with the stronger rand. Oh, bang on 10% I've got here. That's a really lovely move. I mean, it was closer to 11% not long ago. But with the strength of the rand and a relatively conservative budget, fiscally responsible budget, it's been doing very well indeed. Skulk, what about the movers on the upside and downside on your screen? Obviously, 91 dominating with 8.5% to the good.
Yeah. I think that was easy to spot. I mean, your top performers are 91 today, 7.6% for the 91, and okay. Y1 is the 7.4 local. Then Spar also came out with results today. I'm not going to go through them, but it just shows you they had a bit of a surprise on the upside, up 3.3%. Company I mentioned earlier, what do they call it? Awake the Giant. Awaking the Giant, I think, is a strategy that the CEO mentioned, which they're following for the past year to try and get back PPC to be this great company. They had major focus on containing cost. They've got this plant that they opened here in the Western Cape. I mean, a few good things that they've done lately. And I must say the share price has been reacting again, no different, 3.2%. And then when you got a day where Naspers is up 3% and Prosus is up 2.9%, then you're going to have a lekker day on the JSE. So yeah, that definitely helped the markets today.
We'll come to the indices in a moment. I've got 91 as you have on the upside. Karoo up 7.25%. Blue Telecoms up 3.7%. Spar 3.33%, as you said. Naspers 3%. higher. On the downside, Equitas down nearly 5%. Sibanye-Stillwater 4.1% weaker. Sappi down 3%. And a company that you didn't even know existed this time last week, Skunk, because I asked you for the code, Valterra, which is the old Anglo-American platinum.
I just pulled your you socks just by
no,
the way.
No, you didn't. There was no sock pulling. I know a sock pull when I hear one. Down 2.1% Valterra today.
I think David Shapiro, I can remember they asked him this, a similar question, and he said that was all he was thinking. He just hoped that the graph remained, the historic graph remained unchanged.
Continuation graph, they call it, yeah. It would be horrible if Valterra, this massive platinum producer, started from scratch. Have they started from scratch? Please don't tell me.
No. The historic graph is well intact.
So good.
Everything is fine.
Okay, lovely. All right, Scott, give us the indices, please.
Yeah, like I just mentioned, I think that before Equitas shareholders sort of go cry themselves to sleep today. I mean, it was an ex-div story on that stats, but the other shares was just companies that took a bit of a bath. So, looking at the indices today, JSE All Share, as mentioned earlier, up 81 basis points, closed today at 95,650 points. Resources up 70 basis points, while industrials, a little help from Naspers and Prosus, they were up 1.3%. Financials also up 0.41%, while the SA Property Index took a bit of a breather today, with it's been down just over 1%. When we look at the value traded, not a bad day at all. 24 billion traded through the JSE today.
Very good indeed. Skulk, thanks so much for your time and for your analysis. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.